This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Phil C, Wong Xiaoning and Khoo Soo Chuang. It's now 7:36 in the morning, Thursday the 16th of June. China's economy has had a mixed recovery in May as COVID restrictions gradually eased, with industrial production unexpectedly increasing while consumer spending and the property market continued to contract.
Yep, the National Bureau of Statistics said in a statement that the economy showed a good momentum of recovery in May, with negative effects from COVID gradually overcome and major indicators improving marginally. Yet the cost of the recovery remains uncertain because Beijing continues to rely on lockdowns and other restrictions to contain large-scale outbreaks of the virus. It seems that last month's still subdued activity and signs of a weak recovery in June will weigh on growth and, of course, likely put the government's full-year target of 5.5% GDP further out of reach.
For more on what these data points actually mean, we have with us Gary Ng, economist from Texas. A very good morning to you, Gary. Now, help us understand, right, China's economic numbers came in better than expected, but it still looks pretty challenging. What's your first take on the numbers? Is the worst truly behind?
Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here again today. So definitely the China's figures are better than market expectation. There is a rebound, but the recovery is still quite uneven. On the one hand, I think industrial production has seen quite an obvious recovery because it's really the first to react when you have this loosened mobility restriction that people can go back to factories and it's basically much easier to produce. And on the other hand, the jobless rate also improved a little bit. I think all of this thanks to this, at least in some of the provinces, there is some relaxed mobility measures. However, we also need to see the challenges that investment has further decelerated. Retail sales has rebounded a little bit, but it's still on a negative year-over-year growth. And especially if we look at property investment and sales, there's no improvement at all and actually it's further deteriorate. So therefore, we have in front of us basically an improving picture, but the challenges are still basically quite tough, especially given the zero COVID policy is still on.
Okay, Gary, you used the word but. So is it possible that the government can achieve this 5.5% GDP target that they initially came up with at the beginning of the year? Is it still something that the government is not going to change?
I think at the moment, the government may still try to aim for that target, but it is really a question to trade whether like the government is willing to expand the short-term leverage extensively versus the previous goal that they have been trying to basically reduce leverage, put on more regulations in order to fine-tune the economy or make it more even in terms of the common prosperity perspective. But from my view, I do think that it's increasingly challenging for the government to achieve that simply because the uncertainty coming from the zero COVID policy is not may not be only temporary, but it can be a bit more long-lasting. Even though, of course, when we have this mobility restriction relaxation, there will be some positive signs as we have seen in industrial production. However, if we continue to see this uncertainty brewing, it means that the consumer confidence recovery may come a bit later. Corporate may still be uncertain on whether they want to invest further. And even from the regulatory point of view, there are some relaxation in the short run. But whether this will change back to the original path, and it's quite likely, right? So therefore, I think confidence is really the key going forward. And right now, it's hard to see the Chinese government really pump up this large amount of money to actually achieve this 5.5% growth. But our current forecast is 3.5% for full year. And if things recover a bit further, I think it's more likely to be 4-ish%. But for everything to actually, for growth to actually achieve 5 or above, we really need a very strong recovery or actually, in other words, probably a shift in the COVID policy.
Yeah, Gary, so with this, the material impact of this policy on the economy, livelihoods, confidence and investments, why do you think the government continues to persist with this zero policy, given the fact that the rest of the world is progressing fast towards endemicity?
I think it's probably an economic question, but also a bit more related to the political side that probably China really needs this basically zero COVID initiative to show that first it probably worked in from 2020 is one of the countries that has contained it the best. However, right now it's also about how this can change and going forward. So what we have seen in China right now is that there is still quite a strong or basically tough restriction in Beijing and Shanghai, and producers are trying to shift this production to other provinces. And that's why we see this industrial production recovering, because basically firms are trying to recover and etc. So I do think that probably we need the leadership to actually think when would be the right timing to actually relax more of these measures. So the time that we are looking is really probably at least in quarter four this year. So we would expect this divergence between the world and China in terms of this COVID policy to last for at least for a while, because of probably a few, there will be a few important political events coming up at least until probably October and November.
Yeah, do you think Xi Jinping can continue this zero policy, given the fact that he's going for an unprecedented third term in office?
I do think that the word zero COVID policy may still appear in many of the government documents. But at least the good news is that in the past, the government usually only mentions COVID. But now, at least, they put COVID and economic development together. So I think it still shows that there is room for changes for the government in terms of how to interpret the zero COVID policy. And also, even even if they want to maintain this zero COVID policy, whether there will be a trade-off or at least some sacrifice or basically a balance together with the economic growth. So we see that we are moving towards that direction. But of course, how much can it turn, we still need to see, and probably after, let's say, October, especially as you also have correctly pointed out, is really the important time for the third term, then right. We can probably see some important or basically more changes after. But before that, I think it will only be some fine-tuning of policy. As for example, we may see that while they maintain this zero COVID policy and restriction, there will be more government stimulus to actually smoothen the impact a little bit.
So you see a divergence in COVID policy. Do you see a divergence expanding, you know, in terms of how central banks approach this? Because the China Central Bank is planning to cut policy rates, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So I think the biggest divergence is that if we look at the Fed last night, it was 75% basis point, which is the biggest hike in, if I remember correctly, is 28 years. So for China, I think the central bank has no choice but to implement a more lax, basically monetary policy. But of course, it may not be a full-fledged lax monetary policy and liquidity injection, because after all, it seems that they're still quite wary of financial risk. But at least what we have seen in the last 2 months, there is a 15 basis point cut in the 5-year long prime rate, which basically means that more liquidity will be channeled to the real estate market and for the household to actually purchase. So basically, I do think that it will be laxer, but the government will also try to look into the issue that if the divergence is too big, there may be capital outflow. So there are other concerns preventing the central bank to have an extraordinary relax monetary policy, but it will be more supportive.
Well, thank you very much, Gary. That was Gary Ng from Economist from Natixis, unpacking to us the recent economic developments happening in China. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.